You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Wednesday night as we broadcast all over the state of Wisconsin from beautiful downtown Green Bay, which is just down the road from Door County, which is what we're talking about right now. But before we get back to our interview, I want to let everybody know that we have a spring break into spring Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, or $100 in cash. Plus, every entry you do daily enters you into our grand prize drawing of a new brand new queen mattress set from Verlo that includes a mattress, sheet set, mattress protector, and pillows. Can't forget the pillows. Time for Text to Win, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. Tune in and text in the daily word, and you are entered in the daily draw, and you will be qualified for the grand prize as well. Here's the catch, and it's not really a catch. You have to have the Civic Media app in order to play. And if you don't already have it, it's easy to download. It's easy to use. You just click text right next to whatever station you're listening to, and you are, if you text in the daily word, that is, you're entered, and you're all set. Good luck, everybody. Did you enter, Conrad?
I can't.
That's kind of a jip. We work hard. So we've got a lot going on here, folks. It's a great night. Ethan Ogilvy will be here. He's a screenwriter who wrote a film called The Threesome, which you can see at the Wisconsin Film Festival. It also played at the South by Southwest Festival. Ethan is a Wisconsin native, and we'll talk to him in just a few minutes. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with our guests, Tamara Gaumond and Gene Gibbons. They wrote the book, 100 Things to Do in Door County Before You Die. I was going to ask you guys about the morbid title, but that was part of a package deal, so not much it you was. Can do. pardon me. Do you guys, can people get the book right now? Where can they find the book?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
Okay.
It's on BarnesandNoble.com, and quite a few shops in Door County have decided to carry it, so when you're up there, you can find it too. But it is on Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
I've heard of Amazon. that's great. All right, so check out the book. It's a great read. Thank you guys for the copy as well. I'll lend it to Conrad after the show because I really enjoyed it. Although I've got about 10 more things to look at, I will admit. Have either of you heard of a painter named Charles Peterson? He was an artist from Chicago who fell in love with Door County and moved there. And he paints these paintings with like holograms in them. It's like he gives you what it's like now, and then he paints like these ghosts in the picture. And one of his, he does a lot of Door County paintings, like on a farm. He's got the Ephraim Pier back in the day. It's called Yuletide, and I think it's a Christmas painting that he did where a horse is pulling a sleigh down the pier. It's just, his stuff is absolutely beautiful. And when I lived out of the Midwest for many years, I had those around my place just to remind me of the Midwest and Door County. But great stuff. And if you ever are there, he used to have a gallery there. I don't know if he still does, but his stuff is really worth checking out.
Great. Good to know.
Yeah. Maybe the follow-up book. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you find a spot.
I'll watch
for
that when we're there.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find the book on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. Let's talk more about, let's do this. Okay. Each of you is an ambassador for Door County. Someone who's never been there before and they say, I want to spend a weekend in Door County. I'd like to hear what each of you tell them to do over the course of 2 days. Tamara, let's start with you.
You go first, Tamara.
Yeah.
Me? Boy, I guess I would try to find out what it is their interests are, because if you're, you know, an outdoors person that wants to be busy the whole time, then, you know, get your bike, you know, go rent a kayak or bring your kayak or go rent a paddleboard, go hiking. You know, you can certainly fill 2 days being really, really active. If you're a golfer, you can make a golf vacation out of it. There's enough golf courses. If you're a foodie, you can travel around and, you know, eat at really great restaurants,
yeah,
five meals a day, or you can do the whole gallery thing, go gallery hopping and get culture. There's also, with all the theaters and things, you can do a cultural trip where you have music and plays and, you know, that sort of thing. So, Gene.
Great answer.
Yeah. If you've never been there before, I did this with my mother and mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law had never been there. A driving tour can get you to cover quite a bit of ground and get the feel of the place, going all the way up from Sturgeon Bay up along the shore to Gills Rock and even up to North Point where the Washington Island Ferry leaves from. And then when you're coming back down, you could see, and that covers all the towns, you know, there's Egg Harbor, Fish Creek, Ephraim, Ellison Bay, Gills Rock. So you get all those. Then you turn around and you come down and you go down 57 and you hit Bailey's Harbor and the more quiet side, and you've made a whole circle. And that doesn't take, depending on how much you want to stop and what you look at, that is a great overview. And it's a beautiful drive if someone in your party wants to drive. If not, the Door County Trolley, they have tours too, the trolley company. They're based out of near Egg Harbor, but they run tours of different themes and you can get a nice overview. So once you're done with the overview, and again, I go, you know, then you're back to pick a town that appeals to you and walk around, you know. Ephraim is the classic with the white, you know, clapboard buildings that go up the side. It's older than a lot of them. Fish Creek is very historic. Egg Harbor's grown a lot and has got a lot going on now. And then Ellison Bay and Gills Rock are a little quieter, but very old Door County. If you want to get the feeling of the way Door County used to be everywhere, spend a little time in Gills Rock.
That's
and
great.
It's sort of the old, you know, in Ellison Bay even, although that is growing. So, and then I go back to those state parks.
Yeah. You
know, to get the beauty, visit one of them and do some hiking or biking.
And Gene had mentioned Peninsula State Park. You can also do a drive through Peninsula State Park because it has a road that circles. It's got a couple ways you can go. You can go the Skyline Road or you can go sort of around it, and it has places to stop and take in views all along the way. There's the tower to climb. There's a lighthouse to see. Just a ride through the park in and of itself, you know, can be quite entertaining and give you a really nice overview. And the view of Ephraim when you come out of the park on the north end.
We've got about three more minutes. Let's talk about something which I'm fascinated by Door County. There are so many cool haunted attractions. You touch on that in the book. Have either of you ever, or both of you ever explored any of those? And what are your favorite attractions when it comes to the spooky stuff?
That's Tamara's to go run with.
I haven't on Door County. I have a young adult daughter who, when we go on vacation, she wants to seek that stuff out. So I know that it's really fun to include that there are a lot of people that enjoy that aspect of it. But in writing the book, I was really fascinated by the Bitters Bar on Washington Island, which is supposed to be haunted, but also just a really unique place. But there's a lot of places up there that they claim are haunted. And then the trolley has some haunted tours that goes to all these places. And
Tamara, you told me about Shipwreck.
It just adds another
level of fun. Shipwrecks, too, though. You told me about the haunting of Shipwreck, which I didn't know about. You should tell that.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, because it was supposedly Al Capone had, I guess, hung out at Shipwreck, and it was an inn and stuff. And it has tunnels under it where they would escape, the gangsters would escape the police, and I guess that some women who were associated with these gangsters met some not very nice deaths, then they haunt the place. So,
oh,
some,
wow.
Some story like that.
There's so many, so many great stories about haunted stuff in Door County. Yeah. I want to, like I said, you guys have a lot of stuff in the book I wasn't aware of. I've always been aware of all the shipwrecks there. And somehow every time I go there, I never go to the museum or check them out. And that is definitely on my list. But, Tamara Gaumond and Gene Gibbons, good luck with the book. It's really a fun read. And if you haven't, if you're not familiar with Door County, this book, 100 Things to Do in Door County Before You Die, is a great place to start. You guys did a great job, and I wish you luck. I hope it sells a gazillion copies. But I hope not all of them come to Door County.
Thank you
very much for having us. Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, as long as they all come at the same time.
Yeah, just watch a video or something. You don't need to roll in.
Yeah.
All right, have a great night, you guys. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you
very much.
You're very welcome. All right. Makes me want to go to Door County. So I might do that when you're at the draft.
There you go.
When you're watching football, I might be soaking in a hot tub in Door County with my woman. She loves it when I call her that. Or my wife, either one of them. Somehow I'll get a date and I'll go to Door County. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We have a text here from Jim in Appleton. He says, I'm not really following anyone in the NCAA 2A anymore, but I have a wonderful cannoli supper tonight. Cannelloni supper. I'm sorry. That's different. You're the Italy expert, Conrad. What's a cannelloni? Let's Google. Let's go to the Google.
Before
we talk threesomes. Yeah, that's like a ricotta.
I thought he said cannoli, so.
Well, that's the dessert.
Yeah, I thought he was having a cannoli meal.
But this is like, it almost looks like kind of a lasagna type dizzle, you know? I don't know.
I haven't had a good lasagna in a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Maybe I'll whip one up tomorrow before I come in.
I don't know if I'll eat.
Oh, you don't trust me, huh? Is it the fair skin? What is it? Jim, thank you for the text. Thank you for all your texts. It's not too late to get in on the question of the night, ladies and gentlemen. Marquette is gone. The Badgers are gone. Who's your team? Who are you going to root for now? There's 16 teams left. I say Maryland or Houston. Conrad says Auburn.
Yep.
So
anyone
let us know.
But Duke. You know?
Anyone but, yeah, I kind of feel that way too, but that it's more fun to get specific. So let us know who your team is, who you're kind of pulling for, even though it's bittersweet. When we come back, screenwriter Ethan Ogilvie will be here. His film, The Threesome, plays at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and we will discuss the screening with Ethan, his writing process, and find out a little more what his film is about, although I think the title pretty much says it all. But we could be wrong.
Yeah.
You need to know, so stick around. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're not just another lover, no, you're everything to me. Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you lay in my arms, you do the things you do.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Peach Wabba. I got a text from my buddy Dave, who refuses to text the show, and he says, Austin Pay. He just likes to be contrarian, you know? Answer the damn question. This is not 1978. Thanks for playing, Dave. A lot more to come on the show. Let us know who you're rooting for in the NCAA tournament. Marquette is gone. The Badgers are gone. Who do you have? I say Maryland. They're barely a Big Ten school, but I'll root for Maryland or Houston because I like the coach. Conrad says Auburn, which sounds like a made-up school to me. I'm not going to lie. But let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. Right now, we're going to move our discussion to one of my favorite topics, screenwriting. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time, screenwriter Ethan Ogilvie. Ethan, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Pete. Listen, what a treat.
It's my pleasure. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. It's very nice to meet you. I've never met somebody live on air before. So
really?
This is a new experience for me. You do this every day, but...
I do this every day, but I panic up until I take the mic. So I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to help me through this as much as I'll help you. So we'll get through it, buddy.
Let's do it.
So are you a Wisconsin native?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
No, I born and raised in Maine. The film does have a Wisconsin connection. I don't think it has anything to do with how we ended up at the Wisconsin Film Festival. But one of our co-producers, Lainey Carroll, went to University of Wisconsin.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So she's going to give me the tips of where I should eat and such next weekend when I'm in town for the festival.
Oh, fantastic. Have you been to Madison before?
I haven't, no.
Oh,
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a great town. You'll have a blast. And where are you joining us from tonight? You're in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes, I am in my bedroom in Los Angeles, as you can see by the decor on the walls. I'm a writer and not a director. I'm not thinking about the visual. I had better scene options, but my kids are in the other room watching The Amazing Spidey or something.
Oh, man.
So I'm condemned to sitting on my bed like some sort of college student.
That's okay.
FaceTiming with their parents.
You do what you can. We appreciate the time. And I know when you got young kids, it's tough to find the time. So let's jump in. I just want to say, first of all, and another reason not to be nervous, my friend Brian Edding, a producer, made a film called A Good Old Fashioned Orgy. So this is not my first time doing an interview involving sexual deviancy in a film title. I just want to clear that up. Tell us, please, about this movie. I've heard really good things, The Threesome, and you're the writer.
I am the writer, yes. And I don't, you know, it's very tricky because what I think is best about the movie is best experienced if you don't know what's going to happen. I probably could have phrased that a better way. But you know, about 20, 30 minutes in, the movie reveals what the real story of it is. And that is a very exciting moment. We got lots of gasps at South by Southwest. People really do not see it coming. And I'm so tempted to spoil it on air to try and get more people to come to our screening Saturday at 6 at the Barrymore Theater. I think I have that correct.
Yeah, that's right.
But you really, you know, I, not even to toot our own horn, but it really is a movie. You haven't seen this hook before. And, you know, Zoe Deutsch was saying that in one of the, I was tagging along to our press interviews. She's the star of our movie. And she was saying that what was the first thing that jumped out to her when she read the script of like, I can't believe this has never been done. Like, no one's ever done this. And then she tried to look it up, and it has a, in some respects, it is a very fun, funny, traditional, sweet rom-com, but then there is an element to it that you haven't actually seen before that is very messy and complicated and fun. And it's been a blast to get to share it with people. South by was our first festival, and this is our, I believe this is our second. We might be playing somewhere this weekend that I'm not aware of, okay. But it'll be my second festival with the film.
Well, that was a heck of a tease, honestly, without giving anything away.
Thanks.
You really did build it up.
I went over it in my head a few times. So I was trying to figure out how I'm going to talk about this film without spoiling it.
No, I'm very, very curious now. That's great. I don't know if they have me. I do a lot of work there hosting Q&As and introducing films. So
Maybe we'll see each other again.
Maybe we will. I'm very curious to see the film. So how did Zoe Deutsch, now she's the daughter of Howard Deutsch and Leah Thompson, correct?
Hollywood royalty.
Hollywood. Yep. A Nepo baby, but a very talented one.
I mean, I'm pro Nepo baby, honestly. Like, if it means they get the reps, if it means they know what it takes to get to the top, like, as long as you earn your spot, there's
exactly
a reason that the Nepo babies do so well.
Can you imagine a world without Nicolas Cage? That's all I'm saying. So there's nothing wrong with a Nepo baby
list,
here and there.
The list goes on and on and on, honestly. And they have a bad rap for obvious reasons. Like, there's some that have spoiled the expression is, the bad apples that have spoiled the barrel or something. But there's a lot of good Nepo babies, and Zoe Deutsch is near the top of that list for sure.
How did she get involved with the project? Did you guys, was it just the casting process, or was there a connection to her?
I think it was just the casting process. You know, unfortunately, this is not an area where I'm going to be the best source of info.
Okay.
You know, as you know, the writer doesn't always get taken along for every step of the ride once the movie is getting put together. And I will say that I had a much better experience than some of the horror stories that I've heard. My producers and the director really kept me in the loop, and they would even humor me asking me what I thought of some of the decisions and strategies we were pursuing. But I know that our producer, at least Trevor White, if not his brother Tim as well, they knew her. I'm not sure. I don't think they'd worked with her before, but you know, they're good producers. They know a lot of people around town. And her voice really was well suited to what was already in the script. And then because we got to add her, you know, ended up being about a year before we shot the same year as the strikes. We had to sort of take a break. But then I got to work on the script a little more. Director did as well. We got to tailor it to our specific actors a bit, but her the most because she was the first person on that ended up making it to the finish line.
That's great. You also have Ruby Cruz, who I think is really talented. I remember her from Mare of Easttown.
She's fantastic.
Wow. So you guys, let's do this. First, we have to do the news. Can we pick up there after the news break? Okay. Ethan Ogilvy is here. His film is The Threesome, and it plays Saturday, April 5th at the Wisconsin Film Festival at 6 p.m. at the Barrymore Theater. The film is getting rave reviews. I can't wait to see it. We'll be back right after the news with more from Ethan. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night shift. I bet you're singing proud.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We've got a great show tomorrow. Frank Hermans from Let Me Be Frank will be in the studio performing his swell songs and making the popcorn pick of the week. And then Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival joins us to talk about many of the films that you can see at this year's festival. And one of our guests right now is part of that film festival. His name is Ethan Ogilvy, and he is here talking about his film, The Threesome. Ethan, 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not too bad.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm proud of myself for not reading too many reviews because that, you know, any little bit that's wrong or that I disagree with can really stick in my head and drive me crazy. So I've done a pretty good job of not delving in, but I am keeping my finger on the pulse and I am aware of what the Rotten Tomatoes score is. So I hope we can stay around there. I'd be very pleased with that.
And keep the names of the people who pan it, because at some point you'll be able to get back at them and seek revenge. I still have a list and I will get to it one of these days. People listening on the stream, PJ says, great place to eat right up the road from the Barrymore is called the Weary Traveler Freehouse on Williamson Street. So if you're looking for a place to eat, he's right. That's a great place.
Okay, that's my first recommendation, so it's definitely the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, man, it's a great, funky, cool vibe and just a great watering hole. And then if you want a greasy spoon place to eat right across the street from the Barrymore is Monty's Blue Plate. All right, there you go. Thank you very much, PJ, and thanks for listening. Check out the movie, since you seem to live close to these places. You have no excuse now not to go to the film, PJ. All right, so, Ethan, we were talking about Ruby Cruz. And you said you weren't really that involved in that stuff. Are you happy with the cast they chose? Like, when you sat down to write these characters and create them, how did the actors, did they bring more to it? Is it kind of what you pictured?
Yes. I am honestly so happy with the cast that we got and how well everybody did. Speaking of Ruby, I was just going to say, because this is what I'd say every time someone brings her up, that the first time I watched a daily with her in it, I couldn't believe how natural and organic she was. It just seemed absolutely effortless. And I keep telling everybody, I got to tell her this at South by Southwest, like, I really feel like she's going to have whatever kind of career she wants to have. And if she wants to be in Marvel movies and make $10 million, she can go that way. If she wants to make independent films the rest of her life and whatever she wants to do, people are going to want to put her in their things because she is really just so talented. We're so lucky to get all the people we did,
yeah.
You know, at the South by screening every line that Jabuki delivered, who plays like the best friend character, seemed to bring the house down. Our lead, Jonah Howard King, is just, you know, he's such a sweet guy in real life, and he brings a lot of that to the character as well. And you really feel for him, and you really believe him when you see how bad he feels about what he's putting other people through. And I already sang Zoe Deutsch's praises.
But
creatively, I am so happy with everybody we got and the performances that they gave, and they all elevated the material. That's one of the things that I really, you know, because this is my first go around. This is the first time I've had a film or a TV show that's made it all the way. And it sounds, you know, hokey or corny, but one of the things that is so special about the process is I do what I'm good at, and then I give it away. And then people who are such experts at their own fields elevate the material and bring such richness to it. And they care about it as much as I do, at least for a finite period of time. And it was really such a charmed experience. And I'm so thankful that they all put their faith in this script and put their faith in this project. And I hope they feel rewarded by it.
Boy, it's so great to hear you say that, because you really are kind of giving your baby away when you're just the writer and you don't have the protection of directing it or even producing it for that matter. So it sounds like you hit a home run, and it's so great that this is your first project and you're so happy with it. You talked about South by Southwest and lines bringing down the house. Can you describe that feeling watching it with an audience for the first time? Like, you sat down to write this thing a year, 3 years, 5 years ago, whenever, and now you're seeing it brought to life. Tell us about what that was like.
It was wild. And because I didn't know what it was going to be like. It was in a fairly big theater for our premiere. It was in the Zach Theater, which seats about 420, and we almost filled it. We had a few extra seats, but that's a lot of people. So those laughs came pretty loud, and I think it was maybe 5 minutes in or so that I feel like that's when the movie really kicks in, I feel like, and people started to really get on board with it. And, you know, throughout the movie, and again, it's not a comedy all the way through, so I don't want to give the wrong idea. Like, a lot of my favorite things about it are the heart and the emotion of it, but there are some laughs as well. And it was loud enough in there that people were missing the next joke because they were still laughing from the one before it.
Nice.
And that was kind of, and part of me is like, I hope they're still following the story. Like, that was kind of an important line they just laughed over. But it was an amazing experience for me. And because it is kind of, you know, I'm sharing the feeling with the crowd, but also I'm in my own space.
Yeah.
Looking at these lines that I wrote so long ago, watching it come to life. A funny story for me personally was, you know, one of my creative heroes is Richard Linklater. And I thought it was possible that he would be there because he is an Austin guy.
Yeah.
And he directed Zoe Deutsch in a movie right after she was in ours. And I walked down to my row while all our seats are saved, and he's right in my row. He sat next to my brother-in-law.
He's
like three seats down from me. You know, that was a pretty wild experience as well.
Did you meet him?
I did. He talked to Zoe for a while, and then he talked to our director for a while. And then we were all backstage, and I sort of lingered around long enough until he noticed me and shook my hand and told me I did a good job. So that was quite a thrill. That was a real cherry on top.
That's great. He's one of
that really crushed it.
Boyhood is an absolute masterpiece. I love Dazed and Confused.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, everything the guy does, he's just so innovative and creative. He's just phenomenal. My guest is Ethan Ogilby. His film The Threesome will be playing at the Wisconsin Film Festival April 5th at 6 p.m. at the Barrymore Theater. Beautiful old theater. Great place to see a movie. If you're in the area, it's worth a trip. Let's talk about, where did the story come from, Ethan? Again, without giving too much away, the title is The Threesome. How did you, without getting too personal, how did you think of this, the story?
There isn't really that good of a story. It's sort of an idea that popped into my head. And if I told you what the idea was, it does give away what the movie is. And I guess I've decided not to reveal what the story is.
Sure.
25 or so. But because there's not that good of a story of how I came to it, I really just thought it was a good commercial hook, but it was also one that could be done for a small budget. There's no action, there's no car chases, there's no special effects. It's mostly just people around town talking to each other. Like, they get in a few cars at some point. That's about as complicated as the shooting might get. And it actually, you know, you were talking about how long ago I wrote some of this stuff. This is actually a second go round too, that I did sell it before and we couldn't get it financed. And that time they were trying to shoot it for $1 million. And it is the kind of movie that you could do for a micro budget. Ours ended up being a bit more than that, nothing outrageous, but comfortably a bit more than that. And I, you know, the directors and producers might correct me, but it seemed like plenty to me. It seemed like they pulled it off just fine. So yeah, right, you know, a good hook that feels fresh, but also something that isn't going to require, you know, a studio giving you $10, $20, $30 million, seemed like a good play for me trying to break in.
That's great. Let's talk about the director, Chad Hartigan. Mm-hmm. Did you know him, or, you know, because that can affect the story too. He's got his vision. You've got what you wrote. When did you know that you saw eye to eye with him, or that he could elevate it somehow?
So he was the first. So it was a completed spec script, and the Wight Brothers, the Star Thrower production company, optioned it. And the first thing we did was try and attach directors. So we had some director meetings. Well, first we developed the script a little bit first. And we took some director meetings, and he was kind of the clear choice, I think, the whole time. That his resume alone, I think, would have probably put him above, you know, with all due respect, for all the directors that we met with, you know, I really enjoyed chatting with all of them. But, you know, he has for independent film, he has a very strong resume. The 1 year I went to Sundance was the year that Morris from America played there, and that was one of the buzzier films that year. Little Fish was his film prior to this. You know, unfortunately, it was sort of a COVID casualty, but it came out right around the time that I think we attached him on VOD, and that I thought was a beautiful film. Like, I was really so excited that we got him on board. And then when we chatted with him, the producers and I, it was just so clear that he's somebody who just lives and breathes film, and all he does is think about how he can better capture human emotion and portray complexity on screen and nuance. And he's very funny. He added a lot of really funny things. He's got a great, you know, he's a very reserved guy, but he's also very, like, you know, not that I spend a ton of time on set, but he's also very playful on set with the actors. And it really seems like everybody loved working with him. And we really did have a very, you know, I don't think we had the exact same vision for the film, but it was very, very close. And a lot of our sensibilities for it were very similar. And I thought it was a great working relationship. I really loved working with him. And if I have the right project, I'd love to do it again. Like, he's one of the best, honestly, in the independent film world.
What about doing it yourself? Any desire to direct?
Boy, it's so scary. Like, I would shoot films in high school, but I, you know, just the amount of choices you have to make, the amount of control you have to have over the camera, the amount of knowledge that I just don't have. I've devoted all my time to getting better at writing, and, you know, maybe in 10 years I'll feel like I could dip my toe in the water or something, but that's so far away, and I may never want to, honestly. Like, you know, I feel like that was a big conversation topic around this year's Oscars, that Sean Baker and Brady Corbett are out there talking about how you spend 3 years on a movie, you can't make any money. Like, it sounds like a real labor of love. Whereas, you know, writing scripts, I can do, not that I'm doing it necessarily, but I can do multiple scripts in a year. You send those off, see what happens to them. You know, there is something I like about the idea of, you know, you have the baby and you give it away, and then it's someone else's problem, and you can take a lot of swings, a lot of bites of the apple.
If you keep hitting home runs with directors too, you have no reason to direct and take on the headache. It's when they ruin stuff that probably makes you want to.
Right.
We have about a minute or so left, Ethan, and thank you again for your time tonight. I want to ask you, I saw in your resume or your IMDb page, you have, mm-hmm. you worked on The Simpsons.
Yes.
What did you do for The Simpsons? That's such a, I love, I absolutely. I mean, it's a national treasure. So, what was your involvement with the show?
I was a production coordinator about 10 years ago, and then an assistant editor.
Wow.
Yes. Not a writer, unfortunately, but yeah, that was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid, and it's still good. It really really was a joy to work on.
Did you learn a lot working on a show like that helped your writing, or just being an editor? Did that help you write?
I think I did. I mean, I especially when I was a production coordinator, I'd go through all the scripts and see how they were put together, see the changes the writers would make from draft to draft, see, you know, there's some really good joke writing. Matt Selman, who's one of the head writers now, I think is one of the best TV writers. He's got great taste, great sense of humor. Like, I love reading the scripts that those guys pop out.
That's great stuff. All right. So the film is The Threesome. It plays at the Barrymore Theater April 5th, Saturday at 6 p.m. You have no excuse not to go, folks. Check it out. An 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. And you just heard from the man who built the whole world, Ethan Ogilvie. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
But I'll
buddy.
Be there.
Yeah,
thank
he'll be
you.
There. Right.
Well, I hope to see you. I hope
likewise.
I hope I got you in a seat there.
That would be fun. We'll connect at some point. Thanks so much, buddy. Have a great night.
Okay. Thank
break
you. Appreciate it.
Okay. When we come back, we will wrap this up. Maybe dip our toe in the office a little bit. We've got an office clip we could play. And if you want to get a text in quickly, what team do you have in the NCAA tournament now that Marquette and the Badgers are gone? It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight. This is Peach Wabba. Lovely to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Tomorrow on the show, Frank Hermans from Let Me Be Frank. Frank is a Green Bay institution, ladies and gentlemen. He will be here in person for some good old-fashioned tomfoolery, and Frank will make the popcorn pick of the week. And we'll tell Frank it can't be one of his own shows. Well, it could be, as long as he gives us another one.
I think he's going to give us an old 1960s movie.
Think so?
I think so.
Oh, it'll be an Elvis movie, I bet, one of those.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool, too.
And then Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival will be here. Ben will give us a rundown of what we can see at this year's festival. And we'll have the usual. We got to think of a question for tomorrow night. I don't have one yet, but we'll think of something.
Should Pete grow a mustache instead of the beard?
I have not shaved yet. I'm leaning beard. I don't know that I'm gonna commit to that, but for right now, until my neck gets too itchy, I'm leaning beard.
Are you growing the ponytail too?
Let's see how the beard tastes first. Yeah, I'll put the barrettes in too. That'll be fun. All right, The Office. We were talking about The Office. It dropped this week in 2005. It's 20 years old. What other clips do we have? Because we talked about another Toby one, and then we've got, what's the one with, do you have something from Chair Model?
So I have a couple, you know that Toby clip that we were talking about where Toby gets back?
Yes.
Because Michael thinks that, wait, I forget what happened. Was Toby out for another job, or was he just went to vacation or something?
I think he just went to live in Costa Rica.
Yeah, that was it.
And
that's
it didn't
right.
work out. Yeah. And he came back, and everyone knew Toby was back except Michael, and he doesn't believe he's back, and that's what's happening in this clip.
I can parcel them up and eat them at my leisure later on, much healthier.
You're taking two?
Yeah, but one of them is for Toby.
Yeah. Why don't you send that to him in Costa Rica?
I'm just going to hand it to him right now.
Okay, weirdo.
Why is that weird?
She said she's going to give it to him right now.
She's probably going to, because they sit next to each other.
Yeah, they used to.
Toby works here again.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, no. You don't know.
I don't know. What?
You should probably just meander back there. Take a look, see if he's back.
Dare I?
You know what? I'm going to. For old time's sake.
Great practical joke, Jim. Got me go to the annex.
No! God!
No! God, please, no! 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 No!
It's like he just hates the guy because he can't make politically incorrect jokes. And I love when Michael gets disciplined and he comes out of his office and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, consider this my retirement from comedy. He's a regional manager.
I think I have that clip, actually.
Do you really?
That's what she said.
Oh, let's do that. Yeah. We got time for that, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. There's another clip from The Office where Michael's go-to joke, that's what she said, and he's being disciplined for it.
Attention, everyone. Hello. Yes, I just want you to know that this is not my decision, but from here on out, we can no longer be friends. And when we talk about things here, we must only discuss work-associated things. And you can consider this my retirement from comedy. And in the future, if I want to say something funny or witty or do an impression, I will no longer ever do any of those things.
Does that include that's what she said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, that is really hard. You really think you can go all day long? Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so.
That's what she said!
Michael! Michael!
Come
Michael,
on.
Please.
There he is.
Please.
Come on.
Oh, that's so great. And then he hires his own lawyer, and he doesn't realize he has the corporate lawyer there to help him out, and he tries not to pay his own lawyer. God, it's such a great character. That's great. What else do we have? We have another clip too. We got to get
this one's a fast one. It's with Phyllis.
This is from the chair model episode, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right, I love this because Michael and Phyllis went to high school together.
Yep.
But he acts like he's much younger than her, and he hates when she brings up something he did in high school, which is hilarious too. But is that what's going on in this clip, or what else do we need to set up?
This is when he calls her cute, and then she's like, "Well, I thought he was bringing up something else."
Okay.
Attention, everyone. Before I leave tomorrow, I would like to reveal a secret that I have kept for over 20 years. A secret about Phyllis.
Please, Michael.
When Phyllis was in high school, she was so cute. And she still is.
I thought he knew about the baby I gave away.
And if he did, he would have said something about it.
Yes.
I'm very excited. This Bruce Springsteen documentary biopic gets ever closer. Jeremy Allen White plays the boss. And this actor, I have to check out this show Adolescence on Netflix. It is all the rage. It's a true crime or crime drama, whatever you want to call it. And Stephen Graham is the star of the show. He plays Springsteen's dad in the movie Deliver Me From Nowhere. And Springsteen was so taken by his performance. He plays Springsteen's dad in the movie. Douglas Dutch Springsteen, and Springsteen liked watching his performance so much, he thought it reminded him seriously of his dad and sent him a nice text. And Stephen Graham read the text, and on a podcast, he said it made him start bawling because it was Springsteen, and he was just so tickled that he made that connection. So such a cool thing. That's it for tonight, folks. I'd like to thank Ethan Ogilby and Tamara Gaumond and Gene Gibbons for discussing their books, 100 Things to Do in Door County Before You Die. One of them, go see the threesome at the Barrymore on April 5th. That should be a fun night. Thank you for all your texts. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.